Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College.
Houston Community College, start here, go anywhere.
Live from the 1560 studios, high atop the Gow building, overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome into Dynamo All Access on the heels of the Dynamo at Colorado last night in Commerce City. The Dynamo dropping a 2-1 decision at Dick's Sporting Goods Park to the Colorado Rapids. To be fair here, this was a disappointing night for the Dynamo. Tonight we will talk about it. We'll talk about the Houston Dash and more. It is your weekly intervention here. It is Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Now, prior to last night's match, I had the opportunity to speak with Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. We will hear from him a lot from the manager here tonight. We'll also hear from Giles Barnes, Eric Kubo-Torres, Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan on a number of topics, and Houston Dash defender Lauren Sesselman. You'll remember Lauren Sesselman was fast-tracked to play in the World Cup for Canada, has since gotten injured coming back after the World Cup, so has not been able to play for the Dash, but a lot of interesting comments from Lauren Sesselman. Now, the Dash will play their final home game this Sunday against the Boston Breakers. This is your final shot to see Megan Klingenberg, Carly Lloyd, and Morgan Bryan here in Houston. Not to mention Aaron McLeod, Jessica McDonald, and Kalia Ojai, who's having a great second year. Now, Bud Light reminds you to go to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you can get your tickets for both the Dash on Sunday and then the Dynamo on Saturday, who will take on the Vancouver Whitecaps. Bud Light, sponsors of Dynamo All Access, and Bud Light also sponsors Soccer Matters over on our sister station, ESPN 97.5. Bud Light reminds you to get into the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium on the east side of downtown Houston. And I'll tell you what, they also remind you that Argentina is coming to take on Bolivia September 4th, and Angel Di Maria, Sergio Aguero, Lionel Messi and company in the intimacy of BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light says get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com or BBVACompassStadium.com for Argentina and Bolivia. Now let's talk a little bit about last night, because this was a disappointment. And let's preface it by saying the Houston Dynamo come into this after staking themselves a 2-0 lead at Portland. Now, when you go to Portland, you're saying a point would be great here. But once you score two goals in the first half and are up 2-0 at halftime, your expectation changes, and you should see this game out. Now, the Dynamo have had a ton of injury problems. We know that. Ricardo Clark, Raul Rodriguez, DeMarcus Beasley, they didn't even travel to Colorado last night. But then to concede the late two goals against Portland, it's deflating, because you had 3 points in your grasp. So it was interesting for me to see how the Dynamo would go into Colorado and how they would respond to conceding those late goals. Eddie Robinson and I had the call on Root Sports last night. Now, just a reminder to you, the fans, we take the feed from Colorado. So it's their production crew doing the game. And we take it into Root, and then we call the game from studio. That's just for your knowledge. Now, the Dynamo had a ton of problems coming into this game, especially at the back. Raul Rodriguez not available, DeMarcus Beasley, so Owen Coyle had to reconfigure things. He brought in A.J. Cochran. That's a straight swap for Rodriguez. And then the left-back position, he dropped Alex Lima out of midfield to the left-back position. Now, he had the option of Taylor Hunter, who they called up from the USL in Colorado Springs. He drove in, met the team, but Alex Lima got the start. Now, I would say it was a very unfortunate handball on Alex Lima in the beginning of this game. Yeah, he wasn't purely comfortable in the left-back position. But the handball, to me, was unfortunate. Frankly, Not one I think should have been called, but it does lead to the game's opening goal from Vicente Sanchez. And Colorado did target Alex Lima early in the game and knocked a lot of balls at him and to Vicente Sanchez, who, by the way, was excellent. Is their real piece of creativity. The former Toluca star played for Uruguay. Sanchez would rifle it home from the penalty spot in the 20th minute. It would give Colorado a 1-0 lead. Now, the Dynamo would begin to get more possession. And through that possession, they did get some good delivery into the penalty area. This all began to happen sort of mid to latter stages of the first half. They had their best spells of possession there. They were able to play through Brad Davis a bit more and got some good success. Brad actually cutting in on his left hit an absolute bomb that was saved by Clint Irwin. And the Dynamo would earn a penalty kick. Now, on this penalty kick, you have a defender, Bobby Burling, who will punch a Nathan Sturgis cross, literally punch it with his fist. Burling inexplicably doesn't get sent off for an intentional handball. Now this, again, is a moment that could define and change the game. I'm not using this as an excuse here for the Dynamo, because in the second half they didn't have it. I think we all saw that. We know that. The fight, the desire wasn't there. The way the second goal was scored was very disappointing. We'll get to that. Possession, non-existent, really rarely was able to string passes together. And I think that's a necessity on the road. It's a necessity every game to manage games. And it's an even bigger necessity when you're at altitude and you're tired. Because once you get the ball, if you give it away right away, it's deflating. And it wears on you mentally. And it fatigues you. Brad Davis, though, after Burling punches this ball, this would have been good enough for a volleyball match. Brad Davis would convert from the penalty spot, his first ever goal against the Colorado Rabbits in this 37th minute. It's tied at one. The Dynamo finish out the half well, and you're going, all right, this is a night where 3 points are here for the taking. Here's what it sounded like on Root Sports, the Bobby Burling penalty converted by Brad Davis. Now on to the second half. The Dynamo did not answer the bell. Colorado fought in the image of their manager, Pablo Mastroeni, and they outfought the Dynamo. They won the middle of the field. And in the 79th minute, the Orlando City center back castoff, Sean St. Ledger, who was let go because he apparently missed a plane flight and some training sessions, only his third appearance, his first at home, makes a run out of the back, doesn't get tracked properly, turns a cross in that the Dynamo think is out of place. So a number of guys raise their hand. I think a number of guys shut off mentally. Tyler Derrick took some responsibility for that. And then Kevin Doyle comes into the back post to head in the cross. The Dynamo didn't finish the play out. That's the bottom line. And the Rapids get the game winner in the 79th minute from Sean Ledger. So the struggle possession-wise, the game, to me, did not bring a lot of surprises. Colorado, a hardworking unit, don't give a lot of goals up, tough to break down. They create little, and they created little on this night, quite frankly. Somehow they score 2 goals, they get the result. So the Dynamo now have to regroup. 3 changes in the second half for Owen Coyle. I think he was bringing on youth to get people that simply could run. Lionel Miranda would come on. Mauro Minotas would come on. Eric Cubo Torres would come on as the third and final sub. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens against Vancouver. The Dynamo now have to regroup. They've got 8 games to go. If we want to play scoreboard and calculate, I guess we could say they probably got to win 5 out of 8. They take on the second place team in the Western Conference Saturday night. This is a good game to come to. Vancouver Whitecaps, young, athletic, under the manager Carl Robinson, number 2 in the Western Conference. And it's a must-win home game. I know we've been throwing must-win around a lot, but it is a must-win home game. You get your tickets for the Dynamo in Vancouver at HoustonDynamo.com. So be there. Be in the stadium. This will be a good one. We'll also have this game for you on Root Sports. Here's a quote from Owen Coyle on the second half of the Colorado match. He said, quote, "Second half, to be fair, I thought Colorado did well. They obviously forced the pace. The second goal is disappointing for me. Disappointing from us because it At one each, you're still placed to leave with a positive result, but still got the foundation to try and win the game. And then this from Giles Barnes, quote, that, yeah, maybe following the runners as well, talking about the second goal. The boys started pretty deep. It could have been avoided. It's not the result we wanted when we came here. We've got games left. We can still get in the playoffs. The window's narrowing, though. Tyler Derrick also mentioned saying, yeah, he took full responsibility for the second goal. Says it's one of those things you switch off and you let your teammates down. But to be fair, a lot of people switched off on this play. And that is the margin between, you know, taking a point and not taking any, and a Western Conference opponent taking a full three. Still stunned that Bobby Berling wasn't sent off for punching the ball. Still stunned that Alex Lima was called for a penalty. I mean, he just went to ground. His arms were against his body. Don't see how that's a penalty. So I think it was a tough night of refereeing, but I don't think in the end that's the difference in this game. I think it's all on the Houston Dynamo and really the second half. They were outworked. That really was the indication for me in the second half. They never got going. Did not pass the ball well. And when you defend for an extended period of time, you lose the ball and you finally get possession of the ball and then you lose it that quickly, it's always going to be very, very difficult. Bud Light, again, reminds you, get down to BBVA Compass Stadium Saturday. The Dynamo take on the Vancouver Whitecaps. It is a big one for the Houston Dynamo. Let's see if Eric Torres could potentially get the start in this game. I think the big watch now is on the health of DeMarcus Beasley. Could he come back? Could Ricardo Clark come back? If those guys come back, it's a big boost for the Houston Dynamo. Now, a word on Giles Barnes. It's been two separate MLS seasons for Giles, in my opinion, and it's only my humble opinion. Broke out of the gates this year, spectacular. Entertainment, scoring goals, making plays, eye-popping moments, scoring goals and kung fu kicking corner flags. The man was on fire. He was a handful. People were trying to foul him and break his rhythm. And he was a handful, exploding out of midfield deep, running at defenses, making people twist and turn. He was all over it. Then he gets called up to Jamaica, becomes a Jamaican international, as we all know. Then he goes to Copa America, he goes to the Gold Cup. I don't think there's any question, and I think Giles has admitted this, he's fatigued. But I think the other thing that's troubling here now is, how can you get Giles Barnes resurrected here? And I think this tendonitis is a major problem for him. He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look explosive like he normally is. He's not as willing, it seems, to pick up a ball and run at defenses. Yes, he's being marked more and he's being kicked and fouled and all that. But he's had moments where he could run at people and take them on, and he just doesn't seem to really get going. So he's a very different player than the Giles Barnes from the first half of the season. I think this has all to do with fatigue, travel, volume of games, and then, of course, in a very big way, a very troubling case of Achilles tendonitis. This can be debilitating. So this is a big piece. You have to put a circle around Giles Barnes because I think opponents look at you differently when he is flying and he is on. All right, we'll take a 7-up break here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Again, a reminder, it is Argentina and Bolivia. Get your tickets at bbvacompassstadium.com. That is September 4th. You get your Dynamo tickets and Dash tickets, houstondynamo.com. The Dynamo Saturday night here, the Dash Sunday night in their final home game. Get out and see Carly Lloyd and company in their final match at BBVA Compass Stadium here in 2015. We'll take a break. I'm Glenn Davis. We're back with more on Dynamo All Access.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM as we roll on here. And we continue to talk the great game of soccer, the Houston Dynamo Saturday. We'll take on the Vancouver Whitecaps. This is a massive home game for the Dynamo. You need to get out to that one. Tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. And right now, We get the manager. He is Owen Coyle. He joins us now. Owen, thank you very much for coming on the program.
It's a pleasure, Glenn. How are you? Always nice to chat to you.
Likewise, Owen. Let's go back to Portland a little bit and get some of your initial thoughts on this game. Obviously, as all Dynamo fans know, no Giles Barnes, no Ricardo Clark, no DeMarcus Beasley, and the daunting task of going to Portland.
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be a difficult game. Portland had been, as you know, in terrific form. Their home form's been excellent. And we went, obviously, minus, as you mentioned, some quality players. But we went with a game plan. We certainly felt it's a game that we could win if we were at our maximum. And for long periods, we put ourselves in a position to do that. So, all in all, there was a lot to be pleased about, but also accepting there's one or two things that we can brush up on. But I think the lads have been a credit to themselves in terms of that was the 10th game out of the last 15 on the road. And, you know, for the boys to keep picking up the points, keep ourselves to make the playoff run as we expect to do now, then I was delighted with how they went about it.
Owen, in a game like this, where you're up 2-0, you score two wonderful goals, great work from Will Bruin, Brad Davis, and you get these two goals at halftime, and there's this euphoria going into a locker room, and you end up earning a point out of this. Do you, as a manager after this game, do you have to build your players up after this game because of what they did?
Yeah, I think that's a good valid point, Glenn. I think it's twofold. You obviously worked ever so hard, and we scored two wonderful goals. I mean, the first goal, Boniek Garcia's got no right to win the header. He powers a header down to Will Bruin, who has an exquisite flick to the side. Boniek goes one-on-one with the goalkeeper with an excellent finish. Then from the second one, Brad Davis drives at the heart of the Portland defence, which we showed the players that Portland get problems when people run at them. And Will Bruin had great movement off the side of Ridgewell and Borchers, and it's a wonderful finish reverse back into the corner. So having scored two wonderful goals, of course then you want to see the game out. As we know, Portland's a fantastic atmosphere. I was more disappointed in the first goal because we had two or three chances to win the tackle that would have kept the game at 2-0 with 15 minutes to go and very comfortable. When it gets 2-1, of course, the fans, the atmosphere is incredible, as you know. And we stood up to that. It took a wonderful finish from Milano, who'd have, I think they've invested between 10 and 15 million in for the next 3 years. So, and even then, Glenn, at 2-2, we then go up the park and we had the chances to certainly get 3-2 in front. So there was a lot disappointed to lose the 2 points from a winning position. But as I said to players at the end of the game, this could be the most important point of the season. To come to Portland, they've been in fantastic form at home. You pick up your point and you keep yourself right in the mix for making a run for the playoffs, given how many away games, how many road games that you've played. We obviously go to Colorado on Wednesday, that'll be 11 to the 16. And at this moment in time, Glenn, given everything that we're implementing, everything that we're bringing into the club from last season when, as you know, the club missed out in the Eastern playoffs by about 10 points, they've now come into, as far as I'm concerned, a far tougher conference. The expenditure in the league has been incredible this year. And here we are with 9 games to go, and we're still giving ourselves a fantastic chance to try and make these playoffs. So there's a lot of positive to take from what we're doing at the Dynamo.
Owen Coyle joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. You and I have talked about the big players stepping up. I guess you must be pretty pleased now. Boniek Garcia's had 3 good games in a row here with penetrating passes, obviously scoring a goal and making plays. Do you feel like you're going to get the best out of Boniek Garcia here down the run, hopefully?
Well, you and I have spoken about this extensively, Glenn, as you know, and I said that the fact we missed him for 2 months, then in many ways it might have been a blessing in respect of I was hoping that I'd get him back fresh, because he's probably not had a break for 2 years given the World Cup involvement and everything else that goes with it. And he's looked fresh, I've got to say. We spoke about it, you know, 2 weeks ago after one of the training sessions, and I felt coming into the game, I spoke to him, you know, you're going to start, I'm looking forward, I'm excited, you're ready to do it. And he was very much up for it. And I've got to say, it was a terrific performance from Boniek. But what he must do now, Glenn, he must look to deliver that on a game-to-game basis. If you remember, I think back to the New York Red Bulls game, June the 5th. He was ill the day before. Otherwise, he was starting that game, but we brought him in at half-time and the start of the second half. And he was outstanding in the Red Bull game. And then we lost him for 2 months. Now we've got him back, and I'm hoping he brings that freshness, that energy, and the quality he has in the ball. Because if he does that, it's like signing a new player for the run-in.
Will Bruin, again, provides plays. Any striker that's involved in 2 goals in a game has had a good night. Let's talk a little bit about Will, because to me he looks far more mature in front of the media, on the field. There's just a level of maturity that really is exciting to see blossoming from him.
Well, I think there is. And I think there's an air of, I would hope, an air of confidence, because he realises now, as I said, it's great scoring goals, but he knows he can contribute to the Green Glen without scoring goals. He can bring us up the pitch, take the ball in. He can lay, as he did, and laid Boniek Garcia in for his goal. Scored a great goal himself for the movement, but he's been up there with between two and a half boxers and Ridgewell, and then he's dominated them for long periods. So I think, I would hope, you know, having worked with us, he's improved his all-round play, and I think that confidence in it, and, you know, he's a lovely man anyway, Will. And the other thing I've got to say, he's been playing through a niggling injury, Glenn, for the last few weeks, but he wants to be out there playing for the Dynamo, and I love that type of attitude. That's the kind of players I want in the club. The players, although they've got a niggle here and there, they still want to go out there pulling that shirt on and representing the Dynamo and representing the fans.
He's Owen Coyle. Again, the Dynamo Vancouver Whitecaps at home Saturday. You go to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets. HoustonDynamo.com for the Dynamo Vancouver. Dynamo want a good crowd out there to see that number one team in the Western Conference that's having an outstanding season. Rashid Olabi gets the start in this one. Give us your marks on Rashid's efforts, and I know this is a signing with a lot of potential.
Yeah, I mean, it was always, again, we were obviously, as you know, going to Portland on the back of already having played a game in Tough the week before. Again, it took 5.5 hours to complete, so we felt that we needed a bit of freshness in certain areas, and obviously one or two injuries probably brought that a number of players in, but we felt in the middle of the park we just wanted a bit of energy, getting about the game, knowing that, you know, Johnson and Chara are busy for Portland, and that was the thinking by bringing Rashid in. And I think he equipped himself well for the period he was on. Is there lots of bits that he has to learn? Absolutely. But he's young, Glenn, he's got potential, and if he continues to listen and learn, then we feel he can develop into a decent player. So that's where we are. We gave him an opportunity because he's worked hard to earn it, and for the period he was on, I think he did fine. I think there's more to come from him, and I think he'll probably feel that himself.
Now, when I looked at Portland, and I know we've talked about this, having maybe a more vocal leader, and I know you're a vocal man, you're a communicator, you have to be as a manager. Is there an extension of that you're still looking for on this team? In other words, I look at Portland and I go, there's Will Johnson. I see him bollocking somebody and everybody accepts it because he's kind of, you know, shouting at somebody because he's kind of their on-field leader. Are you still sort of, and this is with all respect to everybody that's there because people lead in different ways, but are you still looking kind of for a vocal leader?
Yes. I think that's fair to say, Glenn. I think it's a fair comment. I think you're right. We have all different characters. We have leaders within the team, and people lead in different ways. I mean, DeMarcus Beasley leads by example. He'll still be vocal, but he's not a shout on ball on somebody that stands at the top of the voice and organises. And I think the more of them you have in your team, it certainly helps. So I think that's certainly an area I'd love to strengthen. But obviously have that leader within somebody that's still a very good player, a technical player that can pass and move the ball. So I don't think there's any dispute that I'm certainly striving to, add that to the club as we move forward, because I think that can help. And the other thing as well, Glenn, we now have a nucleus of a really young group, and so those leaders are going to be important for bringing those kids on, developing them, and taking the team forward.
And aren't they at times, I mean, it might make you more comfortable because they're going to be sort of your extension on the field?
Well, that's right. I mean, and then, to be fair, I mean, Brad gets about, you can hear him in his vocal as well. But as I said before, and you'll know this from the era that you and I played in, Glenn, we had 11 captains on the field. Although somebody was a captain, I mean, I wasn't captain of my team, but by God, I was vocal on the pitch because I was making sure I was there to win. I was making sure that, no, you know, my teammates, they knew what was required of them. And that's what I want. I want people that are there. You don't have to be off the park. You don't have to be the loudest person off the field, but when you step onto that field, then I want them to be out there, I want them to be roaring, and I want them to be organising and making sure they're helping each other. And I think you can do that within the context of your play as well.
Now, look, there's no doubt that Portland plays with waves of emotion at home. It's very hard to control and manage that. It seems you did that quite well during this game. But in the period where they began to put it in overdrive and just, you know, that momentum builds between them and their fans, and it almost seems like a switch is flipped and the game gets faster. How do you combat that at the end of a match like that?
Well, it's twofold. I mean, the way you combat it is because if you actually look and analyse the game, we had dealt with everything they had to throw at us, you know. And what happened was they then started resorting to, they brought a D on, and obviously went through Milano, and they then started resorting to big, obviously long, high diagonal balls. So there's twofold to that. One is your starting position, Glenn, that you're in a good position to deal with that. And the second part of that is that when you have dealt with it, then we take care of the ball in the counter attack. And we did it two or three times in the game in the second half, but we didn't do it enough. And if we would have, if you recall, the first 15 minutes of the second period, we were actually a team with two or three great chances to make it 3-0. And when we were looking to counter and in the transition in the second period, that's when you need to take care of the ball. That's when you need your players. And I use this word, to be brave. Now, bravery comes in all different types of form within our game. And bravery is something in the right area of the park. Having that composure, that arrogance at the right time to pass and move the ball. And if we did that better, then I truly believe we'd have only got a third goal in the game. So, of course, there's areas that we can get better at. We've said that. We're not the finished article. Very much a work in progress in terms of, you know, what we come in, what we inherited, how we'll move that forward, and how we look to continue to move it forward. But, of course, there's areas, as you mentioned there, that we can improve on, particularly when the pressure builds and it builds. That's then when you need that release. You need somebody to get a foot in the ball, start to take the pace out of the game from the opposition's point of view, and for us to start to take the pace again to our, there's something that's comfortable for us.
So that was part one with Owen Coyle. Stay with us on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Part two with the Dynamo manager is coming up.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access. Again, a reminder, Houston Dynamo in action against Vancouver this Saturday. Houston Dash taking on Boston. Both of these games down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Also, if you go to BBVACompassStadium.com, you can get your Argentina-Bolivia tickets. All right, time now for part two with Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. Let's go to Christian Lucatero again, the young signing. Here's a young guy that you have now. You know, I forgot to ask you, because I know you and I talked extensively about the qualities this talented young man has and where his future goes and how he will be developed into a professional soccer player. Is there any chance with your contacts that he could potentially go overseas to be put into a man's environment over there and gain that experience in training with some clubs?
Well, I mean, it's certainly not something that I've ruled out. I think what it comes down to timing, it comes down to logistics, it comes down to one or two other things. But, I spoke to, it's funny, me and myself and Matt, the general manager, Chris, the president, we had a chat last week, and I'm all for stuff like that, when you have talented young players, that they're able to experience a different environment, whether that's with an EPL that you're able to go and train for a week or two. We certainly have enough contacts to be able to facilitate that. But then it comes down to, as I say, you know, the timing, obviously make sure that the family would be comfortable with young players. But it's certainly not something that we've ruled out, Ryan. And I think sometimes that experience can always help them. As you know, back home when I had young players, I used to send them out on loan to clubs. But it was late, obviously League One and League Two, because they were getting experience of league football. I don't think that type of thing can ever hinder a young player. If anything, it develops them. It puts them in a man's environment, and it brings them on. It really does. So, of course, there's different areas that you look at with young players. So what we'll do is, look at there is Christian's in training with us every day. He's doing well in training. So it's one of those issues that you look at, and you go from month to month looking at it, and you think, okay, that's the plan I've got from. Is that plan working well? Yes, it is. Does it need tweaking here and there? So it's always under observation and surveillance is the best way I could put it, in terms of progressing young Christian to a point that we think is going to have an impact on the Dynamo.
Owen Coyle joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. We hear Steven Gerrard and a number of these players coming out with big comments. Some have said even, you know, this could be the league of the future and all. I guess that bodes well for Major League Soccer, right? When the characters and the quality of players that have had just these outstanding professional careers are talking about the league like that. Does that resonate over in Europe like when you were there?
Well, it does now, Glenn, as you know, because you and I have said the same thing consistently all year, and I've said from coming in, for me it's the fastest growing league in world soccer. And obviously it's nice when you know, players of the stature of Stevie Gerrard and the likes of David Villa and these players are then, you know, re-emphasising what we've already said, which is great. And I think it is. I mean, there's still, you and I know, there's still one or two issues I think can continue to improve the MLS. I mean, I still believe we should be playing on grass fields, you know, in terms of and looking to try and play in soccer-specific stadiums. But that comes at finance, it comes at everything else. But there's no doubt this is a league that, as Stevie said, that a lot of people want to be part of, which is great for every one of us within the MLS.
Owen, the Argentine national team is playing Bolivia September 4th at BBVA Compass Stadium. Tie that into the Dynamo and MLS in the Dynamo Stadium, in the intimacy down there with all their star players. This is just a great thing for our area to be able to see a team like that. But it also gets related to the Dynamo. It's a win-win, isn't it?
Well, that is absolutely. And I've also, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in terms of training facilities, now we'll also offer the any help we can in that respect, because it's not often you get with a, you know, a national side of the caliber of Argentina coming to town, and you know, hopefully all the big hitters are there, and it'd be nice to see them close up and personal. So, I mean, that's something when it comes about that everybody in the Houston area can certainly look forward to.
He's Owen Coyle. He's joining us on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. So at this stage here in this playoff situation, which is a new thing for you, you know, so as you look out at the amount of games left, the amount of points available, this has got to be a little bit of a different time period for you as a manager as opposed to a single table.
Yeah, well, it is. And as I said before, I'm thoroughly enjoying the experience, the challenge, and learning every day. I've got to say that, Glenn. And obviously, this is this comes into this period now. I mean, another thing as well, you know, there's a number of things, but particularly back home, like we would never be in a position that you play 11 out of 16 on the road, and then you play 4 out of 5 at home. We normally play home away, as you know, and everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
So, but again, it's a great learning curve, and now we have 9 games to go, Glenn, and our fate, our destiny, is in our own hands. And the players deserve enormous credit for picking points up as we've done on the road and at home within that period. You know, to have, you know, prior to the Vancouver game, to have had 11 out of 16 games on the road and have yourself right in contention to try and make that playoff push, then, as I said before, then they deserve enormous credit. That's through injury, that's through Copa America, through Gold Cup, where we've had players, and I mean top players, missing, and we've still got ourselves in there with an opportunity to try and be in at the business end of the season. And that's obviously in the short term, because what I've said, and I'll reiterate this, moving forward, we are going to build a team here, a terrific team for Houston Dynamo for years to come.
You're a quick study, I got to tell you. You're a quick study when it comes to Major League Soccer, because the rules change every day, it seems to me sometimes. Giles Barnes was talked about as one of the best players in the league, electric in the beginning of the year, a difference maker, game in and game out. How are you going to resurrect him now? Because, you know, he's a bit of a different guy now after all the travel, off all the games, the niggling injuries, the attention he's getting from opponents. How do you get him back to that form in this stretch run?
Well, do you know what, Glenn? You're 100% correct in everything you've said there. Because I said to him, actually, you know, it's funny you should mention that. We had a good chat today, myself and Giles. Just a one-on-one, as I like to do with players at different times. And you're right. Prior to Giles going away for Copa America, I would suggest he was one of the top 3-4 players in the league. I would have no issue with making that statement. And since going to Copa America and the Gold Cup, the lad has been banged up. He's been travelling here, there and everywhere. Every time he now plays, as you know, he's a marked man. He gets, you know, people are premeditating, you know, fouling him because they know the quality he's got. So I've stressed him, he's now been, you know, stop start the last few weeks with an injury as well, coming from the back of those two tournaments. So what I've said to him is that we need to get him fresh and get him back to that level he's been for, because when he is, he's a match winner. And that's what we want. We want match winners at the top end of the field. And when you have 3 or 4 of them, you know, as we've looked, Boniek at the moment looks to be a match winner, Will Bruin, Giles Barnes, bringing those players into the one team, then it gives you different dimensions, different facets to your play. And that's what we want. We don't want to be one-dimensional. We want to know that if we go down one route, we can change it quickly, and there's somebody else at the end of it can be a match winner. So I think it's important that we try and get Giles back to that level. And if we do, what a hell of a player to have for the last 9 games.
Oh, man. It's enticing to think about it. And, you know, it's interesting because when I look at you now, I go, wow, I mean, the amount of difficult decisions you have to make, but these decisions that you make right now, they're magnified, right? Based on the way this league is set up, based on a playoff structure, they're magnified right now for you as a manager to get it right, right?
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of the game. And the thing, as I said before, I'm learning all the time. I'm certainly picking up. And, you know, I'd like to think I am a quick learner. So I certainly grasp, you know, what it's about, and we'll continue to do that. But, of course, moving forward, the biggest single thing, the one thing I would crave and the one thing I would hope for, Glenn, is that with a full complement of players fit and healthy, then you can make, you know, real decisions. At the moment, as you know, we have a number of players that aren't on the healthy list at the moment. So hopefully we can manage that and get them back. And then, you know, I think we do have a few dilemmas in terms of selection.
The competition, the possibility, everybody is engaged. It looks tremendous at training, and of course, you guys are having to handle the training in 90-plus degree weather, which is also an issue for you because the amount of games you're playing these days, you've got to be very careful to get that balance right as the amount you train in these conditions to the amount of games you're playing, right, in different environments and at altitude and on artificial surface.
Absolutely. I mean, we come off, obviously, you know, two tough games, and there's bumps and bruises, everything goes with that. We've got a quick turnaround for that, and then we're back, as you may mention, in the over 90 degrees heat of Houston. So it's important that we're doing enough training to make sure that we've still got the energy and the freshness when we get into the games, but equally that we're not overtraining so that, you know, we lose what we need for those matches. So it's getting that balance, but I think we've did that well. And as I say, I'm sure the players are really champing at the bit to get going and looking forward to the winning points on the home stretch.
Owen, as always, we thank you so much for coming on the show. Tremendous insight. We appreciate you taking us into the intimacy and deep into your team and telling us some things that maybe we don't get to hear often. And it's truly exciting, truly interesting for my listeners and myself. So thank you very much again, and we wish you the best of luck this week.
Thanks, Glenn. It's always a pleasure. And I'll speak to you soon. Take care, Paul.
He's the one and only Owen Coyle. We'll take a break now on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. How about that from the manager?
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. We roll on. Let's have a word now with the Dynamo General Manager, Matt Jordan. Earlier this week, I caught up with him after Dynamo training.
Matt, thank you very much for your time.
Glenn, thank you for having me as always.
All right, let's get into first a big game this weekend against the Vancouver Whitecaps on Saturday coming here to Houston. How about a couple of words on Vancouver, because your days in Montreal, there was a nice rivalry there with that city and that team.
Yeah, no, obviously I was a big part of that rivalry between Montreal and Vancouver as a player and working in the front office. And, you know, obviously that leads into our game against them this weekend, and they're a good team. You know, I think that they've done a good job. I think they've built the team, you know, well, and I think it's going to be a big challenge for us. But, you know, listen, I'm very confident that when our guys perform to the level that we know that they're capable of, that we can compete with anybody in this league, and that goes for Vancouver as well.
Are you surprised? I mean, it's a very young team. It's a very athletic team. Are you surprised they've had that much success this quickly under Carl Robertson?
No, listen, I think their staff does a good job. You know, they're a hard-working group of guys. You know, I think they've done a good job, you know, having, you know, a set system and getting profiles, you know, to fit within that system. And I, you know, look, it's there's no easy games in this league. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. I've been in this league for close to 20 years. And I got to tell you, I've never seen this level of parity and unpredictability, you know. And I mean, you're seeing it, you know, week in and week out. I mean, look, we, you know, obviously we wanted to come away last game with 3 points, but we came away with one. But then you look at their form at home and you're feeling good about it. You know, you see, you know, Philadelphia going and winning in Montreal on Drogba's, you know, debut. You know, you're seeing, you know, different results. And it's just right now the margins and the differences between the teams are so thin. And so it's exciting. It's exciting. I think we're positioned very well. We're 3 points out of the playoffs. We got 9 games, 5 at home, 4 away. And I think we're in a really good position. And we control our own destiny. That's the key right now, is we control our own destiny. And that's a good spot to be in.
He's Matt Jordan joining us, referring to the 1-1 draw, the Dynamo going on there. Make that a 2-2 draw, I'm sorry, in Portland. A couple of Dynamo-related issues to talk about. Let's just first talk about Christian Lucatero. Young talent, everybody very, very high on him. We've heard this before with other players here with the Dynamo that didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. This is one that seems to be checking all the boxes for everybody. The question for me is, where does he get games in the upcoming time here now?
Well, you know, listen, that right now, and that's what's been a little bit of a challenge with Christian's situation. You know, he had a very good season with the U18s, was the conference player of the year. Very talented young man. And right now, you know, his agreement doesn't officially begin until January 1st. And so right now, you know, obviously, you know, we're important for us over the remainder of this year that he's in our environment on a day-to-day basis. He's working with our fitness coaches. He's seen our nutritionist. All these different things just to start getting him adapted to being a professional. You know, obviously games is always the most important thing, and any opportunity we get to carve out games for him, we're going to do it. And you know, there's going to be some opportunities this fall, and obviously, you know, with our initiative in the Rio Grande Valley next year, you know, he's a player that there's a good, you know, good chance that he would be a guy that would fall, you know, and really benefit from that situation. So it's a, like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's a balancing act, you know, And I always say, you know, with any young player is that, look, it takes time. It takes time to adapt. And it's a process. It's a process. And you know, listen, at 18 years old, we're very happy to have him under our umbrella and here, you know, working for us.
Isn't the goal ultimately, though, to get players that can start in MLS at 19, 20? I get the whole patient process, but at some point this league has got to start calling 20-year-olds and 19-year-olds young, not 22 and 23-year-olds.
And that's the trend. You know, that's the direction that things are moving. You know, I mean, you see, you know, with our, you know, our team, you know, listen, you got Luca Terry, who's 18 years old. You know, you got Minotas, that's 19 years old. You got Miranda, who's 21 years old. You know, we have, you know, some young guys that have shown well. Taylor Hunter came in and gave us some good cover at 21 years old. Rob's, I want to say, 22 years old. So I agree with you. I do agree with you. I think that's the goal of this thing, is that we want those 22, 23, 24-year-olds to be the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, you know, just because the more they're in the MLS environment, you know, the more they grow. And that is definitely the goal. We want to get these guys, you know, those opportunities.
He's Matt Jordan, Houston Dynamo General Manager, joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. What about with your contacts globally, Owen Coyle's contacts in England, some of those players, Manotas, Lucatero, possibly going overseas and getting some training in some very different environments with men?
Well, listen, there's always issues you deal with the union, with opportunities like this. Has changed a little bit over the years, and, you know, there's a lot of elements, a lot of factors you have to take into consideration. But, yeah, listen, you know, we're not opposed to carving out training opportunities for our young guys to grow. And you know, it's one of those things you got to take it on a case by case basis.
Matt Jordan joining us here. It's Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. We appreciate his time almost weekly. Sometimes it's bi-weekly, but we get a great insight here. For the fans, when you guys decide on a player and you've made a choice to sign a player, is this a dual thing with you and Owen Coyle? How does it work? Because a lot of times, you know, we look at other sports and the general manager signs the players and hands them to a coach and he's got to use those players. And it's different in different situations. What's the situation for the Houston Dynamo?
Well, listen, for our club, we believe that collaboration is very important. You know, we believe collaboration is very important because, you know, it's normal. You know, you want the staff to be comfortable with the profiles they have. And I think that's the key when these processes begin, when you're bringing a new staff together and a coach on board, is that you have a similar vision. You look at the game the same way and you view profiles and players the same way. And that's been great. You know, it's been a great working relationship between Owen and I. And you know, and like I said, listen, we're working very hard, and there's a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of long days, but, you know, we're committed to doing whatever humanly possible to continue to help this team be successful and to put a winning product on the field.
Now, I've positioned it like this, and this is just my very humble opinion, and I've talked to Owen about this too. I say that if the Houston Dynamo make the playoffs this year, this is a tremendous overachievement based on the amount of change of players, staff, the way the club is being run, diversity of players coming in. I think it would be a tremendous overachievement. And that doesn't mean that the season won't be a success if you don't make the playoffs. Yeah. Now, I know general managers and coaches aren't going to want to hear that in a league where only 33% of the teams don't make the playoffs.
Yes.
Would you agree with that statement or not? And I know, you know, it's difficult for you maybe to answer this publicly.
No. I mean, I'll just be, you know me. We've known each other a long time. I mean, the goal is to be in the playoffs and compete for a championship. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, we, you know, and that's our goal. You know, we feel we have a team that can do that. We feel we have a very good coaching staff that can lead this team in that direction. We feel we have good leadership. We have a clear vision. That's the goal, is to get the team in the playoffs and the MLS. Once you're in there, you know, you can go on runs real quick, and a lot of special things can happen. So that's what gets us out of bed every morning, and that's what keeps us working late at night is that motivation to continue to do whatever we can to be successful.
Team has been energetic and exciting this year. I think some of the players you brought in just as individuals because of their diversity has made it interesting.
Yeah, listen, I think it's the makeup of the roster. It's a unique roster. I think it's a good blend of seasoned veterans, good, you know, middle-aged players that are in the primes of their career, some young up-and-coming guys, some MLS vets, a couple draft picks that have contributed. You know, we're really working hard to vertically integrate our academy and our first team a lot more. You know, James Clarkson, who's done a very good job, will come out with us once a week with our first team staff on the field. Once a month, you know, we really aim to get our first team coaches down working with our academy. So, you know, look, it's a work in progress, but you know, look, I'm confident and I feel we're positioned well, and it's exciting. It's exciting. This is what you play for. This is what you work for, opportunities like right now. And the beauty is, in this moment, we control our own destiny. And that's that, you know, and I'm happy we're in that position in a very competitive Western Conference.
No doubt about it. Matt Jordan joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Before we let you go, Argentina, Bolivia here, September 4th, all the big stars coming, Di Maria, Messi, Aguero. It's great for Houston soccer, isn't it? It's great for the Houston Dynamo.
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, you know, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Argentinian player, you know. I've had a lot of good experiences working with Argentines through the years, and I just, you know, there's such passion, you know, with their fans and with the way they play the game, and it's exciting. I mean, it's huge. It's huge. The city of Houston should really be excited about this game. You know, and it's not many times you get an opportunity to see the best player in the world step foot in your city. So it's exciting, and I'm excited about it as well.
Matt, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So that was Matt Jordan. Coming up next, we'll talk to two talented Dynamo strikers. Giles Barnes, Eric Kubo-Torres are up next.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to my Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.